Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for the privilege of being able to meet and to hear your word. Lord, we pray that you would help us to have open hearts and minds to be able to receive the things which you want to teach us. Lord, we just commit these words this time to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. We now live in a world that expects everything to happen instantly. And I guess we've come to expect it. When you can ring anywhere around the world or send a message anywhere around the world from your mobile phone. When we lived in the Philippines, if we wanted to ring Australia, I used to go to the PLDT place, it was a telephone place, and give them my details, and then I'd sit there and wait, and sometimes you'd have to wait up to 3 hours just to call Australia. Times have changed considerably. And so you had to persevere. The amazing thing about perseverance is we don't realise it, but because someone else has persevered that we have many of the wonderful things we have today. Mobile phones. We have wonderful medical breakthroughs that are bringing all sorts of treatments and that which weren't dreamed of years ago. We have some amazing athletes. Because parents persevered in getting their children out of bed to go to practices. They persevered. The same with footballers, basketballers and all of that. People persevered to reach the heights of athleticism, but which they did. There are some amazing things have happened in the music world because people persevered and so we were able to listen to wonderful music and see wonderful shows. The area of linguistics is another area where people have persevered for years and years translating the Bible. We know of missionaries who have worked for years, Carey and Goforth, translating the Bible. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity of going out to Warburton Ranges to run a beach mission. Imagine it, Warburton Ranges and the beach mission. But out there, I met Amy Glass and Dorothy Hackett. They'd been working away there for years to translate the Bible into an indigenous language. We also have a recent example of Nathan and Shauna Jordan, went to linguistic school and then spent years learning other languages. I think they're up to about their third language when they felt the Lord was calling them to return to the States. And I know a little bit about that because the other day I was in my shed and I come across a little tin box that had hundreds and hundreds of words in it with English on one side and Indonesian on another. I spent hours and hours learning the Indonesian language so that I'd be reasonably competent with it. There are dozens of examples of people who have persevered and achieved. But how does the dictionary define the verb persevere? It means to continue in some effort or course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. So very often when opposition comes along and difficulties, we're inclined to find the easy way out. But perhaps that isn't the right thing to do. Perhaps God wants to teach us some things. This morning I'd like to spend some time looking at some of the things the Bible teaches us about perseverance when we're faced with trials and difficulties, because God has a purpose in them, and there is so much we can learn and grow in spiritually as we go through them. The first point for us to remember is that God has a purpose for us in the midst of our trials and difficulties, and perhaps the hardest thing to try to see the problems and the difficulties from God's perspective. Remember Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was sold to Ishmaelite traders who took him to Egypt and sold him to Potiphar, who put him to work in his house, managing his household. Things went all right for him for a while, and then Potiphar's wife accused him of abuse. And Joseph found himself in prison. Again, the Lord was with him and helped him to get a position where he was in charge of some other prisoners. At that time, there were two guys there, a baker and a butler. They had dreams that they couldn't interpret. And Joseph heard about them and he said, I will ask the Lord to interpret them for you. And so he was able to help these two go, or help one of them. The other one lost his head. And he was the one that was released. Joseph said to him, remember me. And of course the guy went away and forgot him. And Joseph was there in prison. And eventually one day Pharaoh had a dream. And of course he didn't know how to interpret. And it was then that the butler remembered Joseph. Joseph was brought before Pharaoh and he said, I will ask the Lord who will help me to interpret your dream. And of course, the dream meant that Egypt was to undergo seven good years and then 7 years of drought. Pharaoh recognised Joseph's wisdom and gave him the position second in charge of everything throughout all of the land. And Joseph was put there for a purpose. And of course, the drought affected Joseph's family. And they came from Canaan down to Egypt to buy food. And it was then that his brothers met Joseph. They were terrified. They must have recognised him. And their words to him, they were terrified as they stood in front of him. When Joseph eventually met them, he said to them, well, listen to how Joseph responded from Genesis 50 verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done in saving many lives. Joseph had a godly perspective on the trials he underwent, and because of that, he was able to persevere and ultimately be victorious. God uses the situations we find ourselves in to develop our character. Romans 8:28, that well-worn verse tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In the book of 1 Peter, we read of the persecution the early Christians were experiencing. And in chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, we read, praise be to God, the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming salvation that is already revealed in this last time. In all this, you can greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the genuineness of your faith is proven, faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, so that it may result in the praise and glory and honour of Jesus Christ when he's revealed. God's purpose here is to refine characters, to prove our faith, so that we can bring praise and honour and glory to Jesus when he's revealed. Our Bible reading from Romans chapter 5 verses 3 to 8 expands on this. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. In all this, let us not forget that Jesus is with us. He experienced the same things we are going through. For we do not have the high priest who is unable to empathise with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. A wonderful promise. Hebrews 2:18 tells us that Jesus suffered when he was tempted, and because of that, he is able to help us when we are tempted. Jesus isn't an uninterested bystander. He is waiting and ready to help us. Romans 8:26 tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness and prays for us when we do not know how to pray. We have a wonderful God who wants the best for us. Let us not forget that. We all know that there are many people who are struggling under most difficult circumstances, people who are looking after spouses or family members who are ill, suffering with dementia, broken homes, young mothers that are struggling with young children, sleepless nights and all of that, the homeless, the unemployed, drug addiction, and the list could go on. They haven't the time and probably in a lot of cases not the inclination to even consider how God might be at work in their situation. And this is where they need Christian friends who have the godly perspective to reach out to help and encourage them, because this more than anything else will show them that God cares and loves them. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Another verse for us to consider is found in 1 Peter 4:10. "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms." God may well use our involvement with those who are struggling to persevere as a part of his plan to help us to grow, to become people he wants us to become, and develop the character in us that he wants to reflect his glory. A great example of that is perseverance is found in the life of Fanny Crosby, that wonderful hymn writer. Fanny Crosby, a wonderful hymn writer, became blind towards the end of her life. And a visiting friend, out of sympathy, said how terrible it was. Fanny replied, "God is putting the finishing touches on my life." She had a godly perspective which helped her to persevere. I wonder, are we people who can use the difficulties of life as stepping stones to growth in our lives? Our second point this morning is that I'd like us to remember is that we are to become people who persevere, we need to look forward and not back. Hebrews has some wonderful advice for us. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." The writer likens the Christian life to a race, and of course, if we're running in a race, we'll get rid of anything that will hinder us. Athletes watch their diet. They keep an eye on their sleep. They set routines, which they follow very closely. They mix with like-minded people so they can be encouraged, and of course, they persevere. This is what we need to do. We need to persevere with practices and disciplines that will ultimately bring us to victory, because we have fixed our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So often we get the vision, but when problems come along, we fail because we don't persevere. When things get tough, we have too much baggage. that we are carting around in our lives. I remember when I was working in Indonesia, part of my role was to visit 6 villages. I didn't visit them all in one go, but every 2 weeks I'd go out and visit 3 or 4. And I was away for anything up to 5 nights. And on some days I had to walk up to 3 hours carrying my backpack. And believe you me, I went through that backpack and I got rid of everything that I didn't need, because it got really heavy, even though it only weighed 8 kilos. But it was easier there because you could wash out your clothes and hang them up and they were dry, and so you didn't need to take too many clothes, which was really good. This can be the same in our lives on a daily basis. Our lives can be cluttered up with busyness and programs as we try to fit everything in. I attended a men's breakfast last year, just after the lockdown had finished. This was at North Beach Baptist Church. I was amazed when the leader asked, what will change for you in the light of the recent lockdown that we've just come through because of COVID? The response from these mostly married men in their 30s was, we'll be looking at our programs and how busy we always seem to be. I suspect that we can all identify with that. Our busyness can keep us from spending time with the Lord, and so over time we lose that godly perspective. Psalm 4:10 reads, "Be still and know that I am the Lord." If our lives are that busy, it gets difficult to hear God. But the busy lifestyle we might lead might not be the only area we need to look at. The verses we've just read speak to us of being weighed down with sin that easily entangles us. Is it bitterness in our life over an unmet aspiration or dream? A remark? A broken relationship? A disappointment? If we keep looking back, it will keep us from the blessings that God wants us to enjoy into the future. The Bible tells us to get rid of all roots of bitterness because these rob us of the joy and the peace that Jesus wants us to experience. Perhaps it is the sin of anger. Sadly, over the last few years, I've come across this very often in the workplace. Young men who are very angry inside. We see it in domestic violence situations and so on. It is prevalent everywhere. Is it unfaithfulness to a spouse? Laziness? Stealing? This has become a common practice for employees who are on their mobile phones as soon as the boss's back is turned. It used to be paper clips and pens, but it's moved on from that. Stealing from the boss. Hebrews 12, chapter 1, tells us to get rid of the sin that so easily entangles us. Sin will keep us from looking forward and hamper our ability to face the trials that we are so inclined to get mixed up in. Our third point I'd like us to spend a few minutes thinking about is patience, for it is an attitude that will help us tremendously as we try to persevere through difficult situations. We live in a world that is conditioned to obtain almost anything we want almost instantly. We become impatient when our expectations aren't met. Is it any wonder that we aren't able to persevere when we're waiting to hear if we got that job, if the home loan came through, if the part came for the vehicle that we've been trying to fix, and so on? We can be very impatient people. I notice it a lot. It is mostly seen in the way people will come up and butt in when you're in the midst of a conversation. They want to be a part of it. I notice it too when people interrupt people who are in the midst of doing something. Impatience. And I think that there's possibly lots of mistakes made because of that. We can see it on the road, road rage. People are impatient. There are many accidents caused because of impatience. But God can use these situations to teach us if we'll only take the time to listen to him, to grow near to him. James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11 illustrates this. Be patient, then, my brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord is coming, for the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord has finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. We see patience is needed in two situations here. The first is where the Christians were hoping for the Lord to return soon. They were probably becoming impatient and distracted about it, possibly leading them to neglect things that they should have been doing. James tells them to be patient, then uses the example of a farmer patiently waiting for the spring rains and finally the crop to grow and ripen for harvest. In waiting, the farmer does other things so that his farm and home run smoothly. The other situation is that of the prophets, who were patient in the midst of trials and suffering. James singles out Job, a wealthy man who trusted God. When challenged by Satan, God gave Satan permission to test Job, but Satan wasn't to lay a hand on his person. In all Job's tragedy, he was patient and continued to trust God, who finally restored to Job all that he had lost. In all his trials, Job persevered in his faith and trust in God. What a wonderful reminder to us. We can only learn patience as we face our trials and hardships. We can learn to persevere as we learn to trust God to take us through the situation we face. Let me quote from the words of a Christian named Andrew Murray, who makes the following four points. First, he brought me here. It is by his will that I am in this difficult place. In that I will rest. Secondly, he will keep me in his love and give me grace in this trial to behave as his child. Thirdly, he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons he intends me to learn and working in me the grace he means to bestow. Fourthly, in his good time, he will bring me out again. How and when, he knows. So I am here by his appointment, in his keeping, under his training, for his time. Are you going through some difficult times? Have you begun to work through some hard issues in your life? Has life become a drag and tedious? God calls all of us to persevere. God wants us to grow in developing a godly perspective so that we can see things from where God is looking. He wants to develop our characters. Look for opportunities to serve others who may be really struggling. We can help them to see God in the midst of their difficulties. Look forward, not backward. We can learn from the past, but in the race of life, we need to cast off the things that entangle us, the things that hold us back. Run with perseverance to the goal ahead, to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And thirdly, develop patience and trust in God as we wait for him to complete his good work. Then we have that wonderful verse from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love and your goodness and mercy to us. And Lord, we thank you that you are a personal God who wants to speak to us, who wants to help us to grow. And Lord, we pray that you would just help us to persevere. We pray that you would help us to learn the lessons of patience as we trust in you to bring to completion the work which you've are bringing about in us. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.